Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another episode of...
Fingers on Buzzers.
Yes, it is. I thought I'd add a little bit to the end of that.
Beautiful.
I don't normally, but
that was
Fingers on Buzzers. Yes, it is.
Improv, which is very appropriate.
It is improv or impro. I never know which is
I think it's impro if you're on the improv side of things.
Yeah.
I like saying improv because it has an end to the word impro.
Whereas impro,
yeah, it tails off, doesn't it?
And we do have one of the finest practitioners of impro in this nation. The wonderful Ruth Bratt will be joining us to talk about her quizzing experiences, both past, present and future. So we'll see what comes up there. And we will also be having a listener quiz.
Oh, the return of the listener quiz. We've not had one in a little while.
But we've been sort of stockpiling them. In fact, Amanda has been stockpiling them. And we have Mr. I want to say David Soul, but I've clearly...
I wish.
Clearly it's not David Soul.
Imagine the knitwear.
The correct name of the person who's doing the listener quiz is...
Matt Soul.
And Matt Soul has done some brilliant listener quiz. So we shall be enjoying that in a moment. What a treat to welcome a fantastic guest who is a brilliant actor, a wonderful comedian, and an improviser without parallel or equal. I don't know if parallel and equal are the same, but she's brilliant at it anyway. So it is the one and only Ruth Bratt.
Live studio audience.
It is lovely to see you and thank you for joining us on Fingers on Buzzers.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, I know you, obviously, from being amazing in things like People Just Do Nothing and the Showstoppers live shows, which are extraordinary, improvised musical, different every night. And me and my daughter, who is a huge fan, have seen about 5 iterations of Showstoppers over the last couple of years. But you are also a huge quiz fan, right?
I love quizzes. I mean, I'm not great at them, but I really love them. And there's a lot of the Showstoppers who love quizzes as well. So there were a few of us who all lived in the same sort of area in North London. And for a while, we all used to go and do a pub quiz together. And we were obnoxiously good at it. Between us, we had everything covered, except for, as we discovered one week, modern music.
Oh.
Oh.
Nothing.
It's a common problem. Don't worry, Ruth. We get a lot of that on this podcast. People who, but what year did music stop for you? For me, it's about 1997.
Yeah, I think probably about the same. Maybe 2000. You know,
Jenny takes us into the, Jenny's very good at taking us into the 2010s.
Not by far, but it's mostly because in the early 2000s, I was working in a record shop. So up to about 2003, 2004. Yes. After that, it starts to just get slightly more obscure year on year.
Yeah, I definitely stop at around 2001, I think. I think that's it. Keane. Once you get to Keane, that's it.
Yeah.
That's peaks. I've got, don't give me anything new after Keane.
Popular music ended with Keane. Let's just make that.
It's on the gravestone already.
There you go. They killed it off. That was there. So, I mean, okay, so popular music is not your strong suit, but tell us what is, what would be your specialist subjects, and particularly your specialist subject on Mastermind, we always like to find out.
Oh, well, I think my specialist subject on Mastermind, I've talked about this with people quite a lot, I think it might be London.
Oh.
Yeah, because I used to be a tour guide, a London tour guide on the Ducks, you know, which were the amphibious. Yeah. So I've got a very specific knowledge about a very specific bit of London. And because the Ducks used to break down quite a lot, you had to have a lot of knowledge about the places where the Ducks would break down most often.
Was that presumably just before or after going into the river?
I'm running anymore, so I can probably say it without fear of, I think if the people who were on the boat had realized how dangerous it might have been, you know, whereas because we were all a bit blasé about it, but every now and then one of the watermen would be like, and you'd think, oh, the waterman looks a little bit unnerved and perturbed. It must be very dangerous now.
I love the idea that it might have been how you met your end, would be just slowly drowning, like the captain of the Titanic. You would not abandon your post. You would just be talking about the history of Big Ben or whatever.
Yeah, totally that. Yeah. If the lions drink, London will sink. Oh, and so are we. Yeah, all of that. Yeah. So we used to break down a lot on St. James's. So often on St. James's, once so badly. And what happened often is that you'd break down on a day when there was bad traffic because the duck would overheat, and that's why it broke down. But then that also meant that no other ducks could get to you to pick up your passengers. So I remember one day, the worst one ever, being on it, stuck, it broke down at St. James's Palace, that was it. And they were like, oh, another duck's coming round. And I said, okay, well, while we're waiting, do you guys want to just get off and I'll take you on a bit of a walking tour around St. James's? So we went, you know, there's like lots of lovely little alleyways.
Yeah, lovely.
There's the original, the Texas Embassy, which is that a thing? Yes, because we wanted to annoy the French. So we recognised Texas as an independent state. So we had an embassy for a bit. The problem is a lot of my knowledge is apocryphal. And so sometimes when you say stuff, people will be like, is that true? And you're like, but that one I think is true. So the Texas embassy is there. And I walked them round for about half an hour. And then a duck came round and some of them could get on it because it wasn't full, so they all went off. And then the rest of them, I was like, do you want to go walk up and see Nancy Astor's house? We had a little walk around the square. Then we came back and then like another duck came and took another 10 of them away. And then it was me and like 7 people. And I was like, do you want to go and know what to do now? Look at the Ritz. Staring through the window. That was the worst one. So I've got like very, very specific knowledge about those bits of London. So
I think I would like to watch a quiz show that combined actual facts with plausible you know, some sort of tour guide. Are we always with our guests, Ruth, try to come up with a format for a quiz show that you could sort of host? And I would say, because obviously with your incredible improv, you know, not only Showstoppers, you work with the Comedy Store Players and many other improv troupes. And I think, are there transferable skills between quizzing and improv? Obviously being able to think on your feet is very important in both, and quick thinking.
Yeah, I think the big difference is that in impro, you've got to let go of being right.
Quizzes will never do this.
So you have to kind of let go of, I am right. You know, this is right. This is the answer. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, maybe I keep them separate. They, you know, satisfy different parts of my brain.
I don't think they can exist.
Knowing together. Things. That's my quiz brain. And then the part of my brain that likes, like, really not knowing anything is, you know, so I remember, here's a full example of my ignorance. Really early on, we were doing a show and they called it Set in the Bay of Pigs. And so me and Pippa just went, all right, and made it about some pigs. And then one of the other guys was like, girls. Like, what? And we had no idea that it was the Cuban Missile Crisis and all that. We know now, obviously. But that sort of stuff is like quite fun, you know, when your ignorance actually, it used to be one of the guys really, he did classics and history. So he's quite, and he gets really cross when our history is wrong. And he's had to really bite back on like correcting us when you know, we make the Bay of Pigs just literally a bay of pigs.
Love it.
I think a quiz show where there are only right answers, because you know, in impro you always are trying to build and support people. So I think a quiz show where every answer is right and you need to back justify.
Yeah, you've got to build on the back of the previous contestants.
That'd be a
shockingly awful answer. But double down.
We used to come up with a lot of games because we tour so much. I don't know if you do this, Lucy. Like, you have to, you have to keep yourself interested in the car, or on trains. And I remember one of them we played. Do you remember that? Was it like Call My Bluff, where you had to do you had to give a definition of a word, that they gave you a word, then there were three definitions. And so we played that, but obviously we didn't have a dictionary, so it was just one of us made up a word and then three people had to say what the definition of that word was.
Nice.
Someone else just had to pick which one it was.
The random thing I'm thinking of is more correct than the two other random things I'm thinking of.
Totally. And it was surprisingly satisfying as a game. So
I mean, I've done a lot of place name based games. Obviously, when you're doing car journeys with comedians and you do, you know, Shakespearean actor or Leicestershire village, or, you know, those kind of, there's fun in that, I think. There is fun in maybe a sort of geographical quiz, which we would do very well at as people who have traveled and had to, you know, motorway service station or disease.
Yes. And which is the best motorway services?
Yeah.
I mean, T-Bay.
Clearly T-Bay. There's absolutely T-Bay. No.
Obviously. Mean, no brainer. What's the worst?
I think the A1 has a lot of the worst ones. Because it's not really a motorway.
They're not real.
And they're often next to a massive sex shop.
So many sex shops and sex clubs. And also what used to be this is nothing to do with quizzing, but we were driving at the A1 and we all decided, you know, when you just all decide you want a thing, and we all went, oh, wouldn't it be great if we could find somewhere that did tea cakes, toasted tea cakes. And we found this place, I won't name it, we know it's closed now because we drove past it the other day, but we saw this place and it said it had, you know, tea, and we were like, oh, well, they'll do it. And we went in and there were three of us. So we had three cups of tea, three toasted tea cakes. And then when the bill came, we didn't look at it. And we were playing guess how much the bill is. And we were guessing ridiculously high, you know, like £30. And then And then the guy who was serving us started to look more and more embarrassed. Yeah. And we were like, oh. And then we looked at it and it was like £12 each.
Oh.
For a toasted tea cake and a cup of tea.
What?
Yeah. Every time. And for years, it's been like a, you know, there's an apocryphal story. Like us, like whenever we talk about it, we're like, oh, no, not the...
£9.50 for the tea cake and then an extra £2.50 for the what? How did that work?
Look, I don't know.
That is crazy, isn't it?
It's the A1 for you.
Anything happens on the A1, it's like the sort of the lawless road of Britain that you just don't know.
But people, it does have those two amazing diners on it. I don't know if you stopped at the diners.
Mm-hmm.
The okay diners. And they're more than okay.
To feel this has been a great public service, actually. Yeah. You know, people don't realize how much sort of a font of knowledge about roadside dining we could be, really.
Yeah, we could be really useful.
So what's your favorite to watch on the telly? What are your favorite quiz shows? Obviously number one is The Chase. We take that as a given.
Yeah, I watch them all, actually. There's none I don't watch. So I love a Monday night because you've got Mastermind, then Only Connect, which is just over my head. And I'm so proud of myself if I get anything on that wall.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, yeah. And every now and then I get the things at the end where they've got the missing vowels. But that's it. The connections, I'm like, oh, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But I still watch it. And then it's Universally Challenged, which I also love. And I'm also amazed when I get anything right. There was one day right at the beginning of lockdown, so I was by myself and I got like 12 questions right on Universally Challenged, and I was going,
no witnesses,
no one here to see my genius.
Yeah.
That is
always very frustrating when you're you don't have an audience for your genius.
I have to watch it in company.
Well, we will tonight. We're actually recording this on a Monday, listeners. Oh, so yeah, so we'll keep you on the line, Ruth. And but of course, you'll get none. This is always the way. When I'm with anyone else, it's like, oh, yeah, nothing at all. And if you had to compete on any of them, so it's one thing to me. I mean, I love watching Only Connect, and I would be on it in a heartbeat. And I keep saying I should really apply and never do.
Terrible.
But yeah, I think because I know that I would be slightly intimidated. But is there, I mean, Tipping Point?
Okay, so when I first saw Tipping Point, I went, what is this?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and I was going, they're just playing Shove, Hate Me. And what? How is this a game? But I'm obsessed with it now. Because it gets you. I don't know how. Because it's just watching someone answer questions and then... It's Ben Shepherd. Love his face when he answer questions, and he's like, "Okay."
There was the classic moment, the viral clip that went around recently. Did you see that with Homer in one of his epic poems described what as the food of the gods, and he said donuts and went absolutely all in on donuts.
I think it's donuts. I mean, he talks about donuts a lot, so I think it's probably. And it was like, we could all see
to the other contestant. She said, I would have said donuts too. Absolutely. And Ben's like, do you want me to read the question again?
So funny. It's such a weird, but you do get, I get really invested in that one.
Yeah.
I mean, as an actor, do you watch Ben Shepherd's face and think this is a masterclass in restraint?
I often think with presenters, like, how on earth do they do it? Because people think like actors are really good. You know, they're like, oh, how does anyone ever know if you're telling the truth? And it's like, because my face is like an open book. Like there is, you know, if I'm not acting, I am so readable. It's untrue. So I'm always amazed at how they keep going. You know,
yeah,
and I kind of get the impression that Bradley Walsh doesn't keep going, but they, do you know what I mean?
He likes to break sometimes.
Yeah.
Relieves the tension. I think that's what he realizes how it is very intimidating for the contestants. So if they can watch him go, then it becomes all right for them. Yeah. That was the first, the bit of advice I got the first time I did a celebrity chase, because they have an audience, a studio audience, and normally they don't. And it was really intimidating. But the bit of advice I got from my fellow chasers was, as soon as humanly possible, swear, and the audience will then relax and be on your side.
Yeah.
So yeah, it works. It works every time.
That's true. Wouldn't we do radio recordings, isn't it, Ruth, that you sort of... some people, and I would never do this, but some people do deliberately fluff to get that kind of, it's out the way then, and everybody's seen you break the fourth wall and be human.
And no one's sort of going, oh, are they going to get through the whole thing? No, they're clearly not. I mean, they're reading.
The problem is I do have a bit of a quizzer's instinct in terms of because I don't like getting things wrong. So I get really annoyed with myself if I have to do a retake on any, and I'm not an actor either. So I kind of, I'm like, no, the point of this is I have to say all the words in the correct order immediately. And, you know, the acting doesn't really matter. But it turns out it does.
A little bit. Not much, really.
Now, Ruth, we do have a quiz prepared for you.
Oh, how exciting. Oh, can I do? I have done a quiz on telly.
Oh,
I did celebrity eggheads. You know about this? Because, so I put on Twitter, I didn't at anyone because I don't, but I just put on Twitter, I don't want to be famous. I just want to be famous enough to be on celebrity eggheads. Left it at that, because I love eggheads. Like Barry makes me want to cry because I think he just seems so lovely. And, you know, it's just like this constant. Anyway, so.
Well, Jenny will do you secrets of the eggheads afterwards, I'm sure.
Ooh, fun. And then after about a month, so I'd forgotten all about it. About a month later, the producer of Celebrity Eggheads just tweeted back, "You are famous enough. Do you want to do it?" And I went, "No, I'm not. But yes." And so I went up, and it was genuinely like one of the highlights of my life.
Oh my God, talk us through it then. So where were you recording it?
So it was up in Glasgow. It was me, Zoe Lyons, Hal Cruttendon, Ken Cheng, and
it's already a strong lineup.
It's a very strong lineup. Having
Justin Morehouse.
Oh my goodness,
we've got a couple of friends of the show in that lineup already.
Yeah. So we were like, oh, and we were really good. And nothing came up that I could answer questions on, because a geography came up and I went, no. And you know that, and then
only if it's the, you know, A1.
Yeah, it was the A1, I can do it, but anything else. The thing is, this is how bad at geography I am. I didn't even think that would count. So we had you turn up and they like, you know, you go and sit in a little green room and we did really well. So it was me and Hal, because Hal won his round. And then it was me and Hal, and we went to 5 questions, and we got one wrong about King Solomon's Mines, because we didn't know who'd written it. And I wanted to go down the middle, but Hal said something else, and so we went with something else, and we should have gone down the middle. Always go down the middle.
Yeah,
but it was very exciting. Yeah. I loved it, and it was literally like up and down. But they film it. I mean, I'm sure you know they film
do like 5 or 6 shows a day or something. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it was great, and it was, you know. I can't remember who the eggheads were. Judith was there. And when we had our photo taken afterwards, she had her hand on my shoulder and I was like,
touched by greatness.
Proper quiz fangirl, I love this.
There's nothing cool about me at all. I was so overexcited. So this is the best day of my life. The others were like pretty chilled about it.
Oh, you say that as if Hal Cruttendon has ever been chilled about anything in his life.
Chilled.
I mean,
no, he wasn't chilled,
no. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, now we know that you have quizzing credentials, Ruth. So we're going to put those to the test. And I have got a quiz which our producer Amanda has written. It's an excellent one. And it's about theatre.
Oh, brilliant. I know nothing.
I think you're going to do very well. And I'm going to give each question to you first of all.
Yeah.
And then Jen can have them if you can't get them.
Can have the bonus. Yeah. All right. That's fair. Okay.
So my first question. Well, yes, exactly.
I'll push you back. It's my chance to push back.
She's not sitting above you intimidatingly. She's sat on Zoom with a glass of wine, which is much more approachable. Your first question, Ruth, is what is the name of the sequel to the musical Oliver? Now, I think this is quite a hard one. What? I'd never heard of this. There was a sequel. I tell you what.
Good Lord.
Given your impro skills, if you just make up something credible...
I know he wrote Twang afterwards, but that wasn't
I don't think
sequel.
this is
not a Lionel Bart.
Don't know.
It is a direct sequel. Hang on, I'm gonna
straight to video.
Clearly gonna have to Google
it. Called What Happened to Nancy?
Oh, you're so close, mate. You're so close.
You know what happened to Nancy.
Yeah.
It is. Okay, here we go. Book and lyrics by David Lambert. The music was written by Andrew Fletcher. It was performed in 07 at the Playhouse Norwich. So it has nothing to do with Lionel Bart whatsoever.
Oh.
But it does follow one member of the original.
Oh, it's got to be about the Artful Dodger, right?
It is the Artful Dodger. You are correct. So between the two of you, why don't you come up with, pitch me what you would would come up with for the Artful
Consider
Dodger.
Consider yourself.
Oh, that's good though.
It's called Dodger.
Oh. Dodger.
It's set 7 years later than the original musical, and it follows the Artful Dodger to wherever he's ended up. Now, I will give you both the opportunity to guess where would the Artful Dodger be 7 years after the events
Norwich.
Of Oliver. I mean, technically, he's at the Norwich Playhouse.
I just thought it was one of those, you know, like when you do panto, it's always, you know, so when I did panto in Windsor, it was set in Windsoria.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Etonia.
He's very much not in Norwich in the actual play.
The Caribbean.
It's not the Caribbean.
Is he in America?
Canada.
Australia.
Yes, Australia.
Transported, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, of course he would have been.
So it follows the Artful Dodger to a penal colony in Australia.
Wow, that sounds like a barrel of lies.
Absolutely cheerful.
Quite grim. Now, this question number two. Which West End show features five different languages, including Swahili and Zulu?
Oh, is that The Lion King?
Yes, straight in, absolutely. I can't think of any other West End shows that would feature five different languages at all.
No.
Even two. Here's a bonus point for you. If you can think of any...
There's got to be a French bit in...
Amelie.
In in Hamilton, Lafayette.
Oh, Lafayette, yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. Everyone give it up for the favourite Frenchman, whatever that bit is. I listen to it all the time with my children. Okay. Charles Macklin, this is question three. Charles Macklin is a former West End actor who is said to haunt which West End theatre?
Ooh.
Ooh. Now, I did a play once at the Gilgood Theatre, which was my only foray into acting, and it turns out I was rubbish. But I once got left in the theatre when it was dark, and I went to the loo, And I do not believe in ghosts 100%. I'm not at all superstitious or, but I had the willies put right up me by being in a Western theatre. There's such weird spaces.
Yeah, it's one of the horriblest places to be on your own after dark.
I liked it.
No.
I would say, so I know it's not, because I think the Theatre Royal Drury Lane is the Grey Lady. That's what I've heard. Mm. Well, it's going to be one of, it's going to be one of like the old ones, isn't it? So it's not going to be the Savoy or the other, that other one that's...
Not that one where Warhorse was on for ages, that's in a car park around the back of it. That weird, yeah, that one. Where you go, yeah, half of it's a car park and a Brazilian nightclub.
What's Gillian
that
Lynn.
About?
That's it, isn't it? The Gillian Lynn.
That is the Gillian Lynn,
It's like the brutalist with it the club underneath it. Yeah.
I love it, but yeah.
It's great.
You, any ghost in there would be just some sort of banging Brazilian nightclub car park attendant. It's the ghost of a car park attendant who haunts the Gillian.
Well, it must be one of the, like the Apollo. Or
I'm going to stop you, actually, because you said it.
Oh. Have I?
It
is
was.
It, the Theatre Royal Drury
Lane? It is the Theatre Royal. Apparently rammed with ghosts. Ooh. So there's the Grey Lady.
The Grey Lady's another one.
And Charles Macklin.
Ooh.
Oh, we should go do a ghost hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be good. No, that'd be really scary. I would not like it at all. Scary,
if you were to haunt, here's a question. If you, and we can all answer this, if you were to haunt any theatre venue or anywhere really, where would you haunt?
I'd haunt the Apollo.
Would you?
It's where Showstopper did the West End run. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a lovely little theatre. It's so lovely.
Is that the one where the Bob Marley one is on at the moment? It was
That's the Lyric.
It's Jamie's. That's the Jamie was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Is it Play What Went Wrong was on or something there?
Magic
Went Wrong.
It's such a nice, it's a lovely little theatre. And we had such a happy time there. I think that's what I read.
Go and scare the people that are there. Make sure they don't have any fun. Yeah.
Or like a really good modern one, so like no one would be expecting you.
Yeah.
And there you are in the Churchill Theatre, Bromley.
I would definitely haunt the Oxygen in Bolton.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah.
Well, it's handy, isn't it?
It's, yeah, it'd be it's handy for home. It's just good commute. Out, yeah.
Handy for home.
I might probably, well, in fact, going on that, I would probably haunt there's the Churchill Theatre in Ruislip, which is like a little, they only ever do sort of am-jammy stuff there. And I think
that would be a little theatre.
Oh, there's that lovely one in, where Jeremy Clarkson, Chipping Norton.
Mm.
And there's like this tiny little theatre in there. And it'd be no trouble to haunt because it's only little, so you wouldn't tie yourself out.
Do a lot of work,
I might do that. Question number four.
I like the fact that we're quite lazy even in the afterlife.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, just put my feet up.
Oh, the London Palladium. Imagine you'd be absolutely rushed off your knock feet. Also, because you'd sort of think, well, who would be coming into the theatre as well? Because you don't want to haunt somewhere where, like, you know, the London Palladium, you've got like people coming in and out all the time, and you want something that's got a good long run, so you get to know people. Yeah,
yeah.
And you wouldn't want to be at like the Fortune where Woman in Black is, because everyone would just think you were just the Woman in Black and part of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Woman in Black,
super fan.
Right, question number four. What offstage role did Sir John Gielgud play at the Theatre Royal Haymarket during the Blitz?
Was he like the fire warden?
Boom.
Oh!
What? Straight in. She didn't even hesitate.
Quiz's instinct, that. That's Quiz's instinct.
Amazing. Yeah, he was a fire warden. I don't even need to say anything else. Let's move on.
Good lord.
Which of these three people wrote the play The Jeweller's Shop, which was staged in London in 1987? Was it A, Sharon Osbourne? Was it B, 50 Cent? Or was it C, Pope John Paul II?
Oh, my goodness. The Jeweller.
The Jeweller's Shop.
The Jeweller's Shop. Mm. I don't think it was 50 Cent because he's a bit later, isn't he?
Mm.
So I'm going to rule out 50 Cent. Even though I imagine he spends a lot of time in jewellers' shops. Because he does like the bling.
He does like the bling. And also, he is a writer. He did write a young adult novel called Playground.
Oh. Playgrounds and jewellers' shops, though. I'm not. It's too early. It's too early for Fiddy.
So you're left with Sharon Osbourne or Pope John Paul II.
I mean, they're all... I can't... When was it, 1987. I'm going to say Sharon Osbourne.
I'm going to say Sharon Osbourne.
It's the Pope. Am I,
the Pope.
Oh, Jenny's I knew
that just from the title.
He wrote it in 1960. Yeah, so the question, to be fair to you, Ruth, the question was a little bit misleading, but it wasn't produced in London until 1987.
Wow.
But yes, it was Pope John Paul II.
He's a bit of a polymath, was JP too. Got around a bit.
But as is Sharon Osbourne, and you are in no way foolish for thinking that, Ruth, because Sharon Osbourne has written a brilliant novel called Revenge.
Oh, that's absolutely... I could have guessed that, actually.
Is it amazing?
I mean, obviously I haven't read it, but just...
What? Come on.
I'm imagining it's brilliant.
It will turn up in a charity shop one of these days.
And I'm going to get it out. That's what's going to happen this week.
I'm assuming it's like a bonk buster type.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's a thinly veiled.
It's either that or a perfume.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. It's a scent and a novel and possibly a stage.
Scented novel.
I think it's going to be like proper bonky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, here's an idea. As well as doing, so Ruth, we're going to get you to host a quiz show where there are no wrong answers.
Yes.
And you simply have to build on the answers of the people before. And we are also going to commission you to do a stage adaptation of Sharon Osbourne's Revenge.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. I genuinely, that sort of thing makes me very excited.
I know. Let's do it.
Or is it, do I get a cast?
It's going to be on a Chipping Norton and Little Theatre.
Yes. After all of our deaths, we shall hold the theatre.
Yes. And then one day it'll be a quiz question. Note, the adaptation.
Well, that's marvelous. Well, we've all got something to keep us busy now, yes. So that's wonderful. And we look forward to seeing you on more celebrity quizzes. And we also look forward to Showstopper Christmas shows, I presume, are happening, are they?
Yeah, not huge number. I don't know whether we've got any kids shows, because we often do, you know, the Wonderground and things like that. We've got, we're doing a live stream, though, because we did lots during lockdown. And they were really popular. And what was really lovely about them was that people who can't get to the theatre got to watch it. So even though it wasn't ideal for us and it wasn't ideal for the majority of the audience, like it was really lovely in terms of accessibility. And
yeah,
and we would do it all the time if it were financially viable. Unfortunately, with the amount of tech you need and bloody blah, it's not, sadly. But we're doing a special one on I think it's the 18th of December. Yeah, that would be nice. And until then, I'm just making pots.
Good. Oh, do you know, pottery is one of the greatest things, isn't it? Getting your fingers in the clay.
Oh, it's just, I love it. I love it. Aww. It makes me really happy.
Well, I shall please post pictures on your Twitter so that we can all see them. So yes, everybody follow Ruth Bratt on Twitter.
Oh, please do, yes. I took a little break from it because I needed to, you know, make my brain less
obsessed. then the listeners can amplify your requests to be on different shows.
Exactly. There we go. I would be so good on all of them, and by good I mean pretty bad, but
enthusiastic,
entertaining, enthusiastic. Yes. That's what they want. That's what we want. Oh, thank you so
really
much, Ruth.
Pointless as well during
lockdown. Oh, hello. Oh. Stick it on the list. Oh, it's been such a delight to talk to you. Thank you very much for joining us.
To chat to you both as well. Thanks for having me.
So, Jen, it is time for the return of a much-loved feature, the listener quiz.
The listener quiz. I remember that.
We've missed them.
Nostalgic for listener quizzes.
Well, and we've been very lucky in that we have banked up quite a lot of listener quizzes in the time that we have not been doing them. And Mr. Matt Soul, hello, Matt, has sent in at least two, because we're going to do one this week from Matt and one next week.
That's a good sign, isn't it?
And I know nothing about them. All I know is that Amanda is, as usual, doing a sterling job of keeping on top of things. So what's the quiz about?
Well, I was really excited when I got this from Matt, because it's a subject very close to my heart. It's Anglo-Aussie soaps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, with my obsession as an early teenager of of Neighbours specifically. Mm. You know, I was very much in the Neighbours camp. Were you more Home and Away?
Neighbours. I was 100% Neighbours.
Yeah.
I mean, I dallied with Home and Away, but
we all dipped our toe in Home and Away.
I never missed an episode of Neighbours for several years.
Did you ever watch it twice a day?
Because yes.
That was yeah. And my dad, it used to really disturb my dad that I'd watched it at lunchtime in the school holidays and I had to watch it again.
Yeah.
Especially if it was something that was featuring a heavy storyline with Scott and Charlene.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like I'd been indoctrinated earlier with like the Sullivans and Sons and Daughters and all that sort of stuff. That was the Flying Doctors, Country Practice.
Young Doctors.
Oh, these were the gateway drugs to twice daily Neighbours.
Yeah. Well, now we've really talked a big talk here, haven't we?
Yeah, oh no.
Like we're going to be great at this quiz. I think we're going to have to do a buzzers situation.
Oh no.
Okay, I think so it literally will be a fingers on.
Shall we be Scott and Charlene?
Lovely job, yeah. Yeah.
Who's who though?
I'll be Scott, you be Charlene.
That's because Scott's shorter for you buzzing in, isn't it? There you go. They both start with the same syllable though.
Yeah. Scott.
Scarling. No. Can I be Bouncer?
If James... All right, you be Bouncer, and I'll be Helen Daniels.
Oh, we all want to be Helen Daniels.
For the younger listeners, Google it.
Absolutely baffled.
Just Google it.
Mrs. Right, Mango, yes.
I might be the twins, I might be the Alessi twins.
The Alessi twins.
Gail and Gillian.
Yeah. Gail was Paul's wife.
Mm. That's right.
And then the Alessi twins were Christina and... somebody write in.
Well, maybe...
Google, Matt please write in.
Could do us a second supplementary quiz about this. Anyway, let's do the quiz because we might be preempting some of the answers.
Okay, let's have a look, shall we? Question number one, buzzers at the ready. Anne Charleston is best known for
Helen Daniels. I'm going to ask that I read the question first all of these, all right. So Anne Charleston is best known for playing gravelly voiced Madge Bishop in Neighbours.
True.
But she also played the role of Lily Butterfield in which British soap?
Charlene.
Go on, Charlene.
That was Emmerdale.
It is Emmerdale. She appeared in the show from 2006-2009 and previously also appeared in the short-lived revival of Crossroads.
She did. Oh. She did. She was over in the UK for a long time. Much loved. Oh, Madge.
Fantastic.
What a character she was.
Madge
wonderful.
And Harold, Madge, one of the beautiful. All-time great couples.
Yeah, they're above Scott and Charlene for me for romance.
Well, the love triangle between Lou... Harold and Madge was
he used to bully Harold as well, calling Jelly Belly.
Yeah.
How rude.
Yeah. It wouldn't work. That wouldn't fly now, would it?
God no.
Right, question number two. Academy Award nominee Jude Law had one of his first starring roles in which TV soap?
Helen Daniels.
Go on.
Well, he was in Families.
Bingo.
Oh.
Yep. It was, and here's a little fact from Matt. I'm loving Matt's sub facts that
this
he's got
is what
here.
We want.
The show, filmed entirely in Manchester, except for some exterior scenes, was set in both Cheshire and Sydney, Australia.
Oh,
I didn't know it was set in Australia as well.
Was that not an early Russell T Davis project? Oh. There's some connection.
Currently Russell T Davies on Instagram is posting a show he worked on every single day.
Oh, well,
throughout November, so we might get there.
Okay,
I will tell you.
Keep an eye.
Come 1st of December, I will know.
Okay, question number three. Reg Watson created Aussie soaps, Neighbours, Prisoners and The Young Doctors and had previously spent 10 years producing which UK soap?
Oh, Helen good. Daniels? I think... Was that Crossroads?
It was Crossroads.
Yeah, it was Grundy Productions. When he was heavily involved with all that.
He was as head of light entertainment at ATV. Reg was responsible for bringing Crossroads to our screens. Mm-hmm. Okay, question number four. Which musical legend was responsible for writing the themes for Emmerdale, Crossroads and Neighbours?
Oh, Charlene!
Oh, I think you were just about there, Jenny.
Tony Hatch.
Yes.
Absolute legend.
And also for an extra point, Helen, who wrote the lyrics to Neighbours? Oh. The Neighbours lyrics. It used to come up.
In the end credits.
So we've
seen it approximately 5,000 times.
Yeah.
Isn't that terrible? So Tony Hatch wrote the music and... I mean,
And it was his then wife.
Yes.
As in Jackie. Yeah, they were. Yes.
Oh my God. Oh. Tony Hatch and Jackie.
Weaver, no.
She had no authority.
Jackie Trent, is that a
Trent? Yes.
I thought well I dreamed done. That then. That came to me in a vision. A vision of the end credits of Neighbours.
What a night that would have been round at their house.
Oh my God. They like just the... get the piano out, yeah. Just gathered round, we'll knock out a few themes.
Everybody needs good neighbours.
Oh. Well, their neighbours wouldn't be happy, would they? Because they'd be bloody noisy.
Yeah, exactly. And no noise after 11 o'clock. The legend goes that being given a synopsis for the show, which was just going to be called Ramsay Street, Trent and Hatch wrote the theme and suggested that Neighbours would be a better name. Hatch was also responsible for many chart hits, including Petula Clark's Downtown.
It's true, yeah. It's a hit machine, that man.
And Neighbours, of course, is an anagram of...
Erinsborough.
Oh, yes.
That's one of our favourite Neighbours facts.
A very quick aside, I've been to Ramsay Street, the actual Ramsay Street.
No.
Yes, and it was back in 1998, before internet, really, and we were travelling across some parts of Australia, and when we were in Melbourne, we wanted to go to the William Rickett Sanctuary and also Ramsay Street. And when we were in the information centre, we got the information for the William Rickett Sanctuary and they looked up on the map for us and all that. And then we were leaving and we were just kind of like, no, you ask, oh God, no, but you. And then just like, excuse me, we really want to go to Neighbours as well. And they kind of made out that they didn't know where it was. And they made a really big deal about having to get all these books out to look up like what the real street's called. It's called Pin Oak Avenue. Oh. And it is a suburb of Melbourne. And we had to ask somebody for directions. And we did try and ask for Pin Oak Avenue. And they just looked at us like, just ask for Neighbours, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
But when we were there, there was a teenage boy and he was taking a casserole to another neighbour.
Oh.
It happens, guys.
Based on a true story.
That's wonderful.
And then we got chatting to him.
That's reassuring.
Yeah, it was lovely, but we got chatting to him and then a car in what would in Neighbours land be called hoons came past and they shouted, Neighbours! And we all said, woo! Apart from the teenage boy, and then the hoons just lobbed loads of empty cans out of their car window and then the kid just shrugged at us and we thought, oh, okay.
This happens all the time.
Yeah. But that was a long time ago, so hopefully things, hopefully people are a bit more respectable. Anyway.
Respect Neighbours.
Respect Neighbours. Probably nobody's looking for Pin Oak Avenue anymore. But anyway, I digress and I will move on to the final question. musical stage versions of which two Aussie soaps toured in the UK in the 1990s? Now, I knew one of these, but the other one was, I was like, what?
There must have been a Prisoner musical.
Yes. I remember that.
But the other one, I had no idea.
Well, what would you make a musical of? Now, this is a...
Yeah.
If it hasn't been done, then we could do it. So,
I mean, it would be Sullivans. Expensive to do The Flying Doctors.
It would be expensive.
A Country Practice. No, bigger than that. Bigger Australian show.
Well, I mean, Home and Away would be difficult because that was definitely much more surf-based.
There's lots of surfing in that.
Yeah.
Well, it was Home and Away.
No!
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Did they have a song, You're Flaming Galah? Because that's what... Alf Roberts used to call Flathead, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I know that much, that there was Flathead.
I'll be honest with you, and this is going to sound slightly heretical, but I do think actually the Home and Away theme tune probably has stood the test of time better than the Neighbours theme tune.
Yeah, I think you're right. Can you sing, both of you, after three, the Young Doctors theme tune? Just, I mean, it doesn't have any words, but...
Young Doctors, we are the Young Doctors. It was sort of quite dreamy, wasn't it?
No, not at all.
Wasn't it?
Oh, it was very dramatic. I remember it.
It's been in my head all day after reading.
So for my entire life. Since 1989, it's been in my mind.
It's an earworm.
Is it? It sounds a bit like Baywatch to my untrained ear, but I'll
I don't know the Baywatch theme tune. Isn't that kind of...
It starts off with them.
Yeah.
Right. No, Young Doctor. No.
Yeah, it's... I
love the idea that people are listening to this podcast trying to drift off to sleep. Going, just a little bit of, chat about quizzing.
Gentle.
Delena!
You're flaming galah!
I'm gonna do something a bit more soothing. Closer each day, home and away. You know we belong together, you and me forever and ever. No matter what it is.
That's lovely. That's for copyright purposes. Yeah, I'm going to cut you off there.
That's fair use up till now.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much, Matt Soul. You did not imagine, I'm sure, when you sent that in, how many memories you would be lighting beautiful. In our souls. So thank you, Matt Soul, for that brilliant listener quiz. Well, what a delightful episode that was. And I enjoyed talking to Ruth Bratt for a number of reasons, but not least because I got to talk about service stations, my favourite thing.
I know. It just, a little face lights up as soon as you talk about Heston Services.
I'm going to put out into the universe that I would like to host a quiz show about and from motorway services.
Well, you'll have to find Alan Partridge for that, I feel.
Probably would. But yes, if anyone from Fleet Services southbound, that's my favourite. If you're listening, I would be happy to do that. And T-Bay, obviously, I'll do a residency. So a pleasure to talk to Ruth. An absolute pleasure to have our listener quiz from Matt Soul. Thank you, Matt Soul. And we will see you next time for another episode of
Fingers on Buzzers.
Yes, it is.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
You flaming galah!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.